When was Our Lady made the patroness of the Americas? I'm not sure. Does anybody know? When Mary was made the patroness of the Americas? I don't know. The Our Lady of Guadalupe, wasn't it John Paul II? It made Our Lady of Guadalupe patroness of the Americas at the Synod of the Americas about 10 years ago. I think so. John Paul II made Our Lady of Guadalupe patroness of the Americas. Was the original church rebuilt after an earthquake? Well, the church was rebuilt to make it bigger, and so now they're, both of them are there, the original church, which wasn't the original, but the large church that was made.
Are they separate?
Yeah, so they're separate. I haven't been there, unfortunately, but yet.
I thought
but maybe, yes, the on top of the original one, which was small. But then they built this much bigger one. That's but the old one is still there. Is it just a coincidence that as millions are added to the church in Mexico, that millions are lost in England and Europe at about the same time? Fantastic question. God's providence governs the world. And we see this happening repeatedly. We see it in Israel and in the church, that in times of infidelity, sure, large chunks of Christendom can be lost, just as Israel was deported into Babylon. But God brings good out of that evil. No, and in the case of the Reformation, yes, in Europe, tremendous parts of Christendom were lost to the faith in the Protestant Reformation, and precisely 10 years after Luther split with the church, I think twice as many souls were added as had been lost in Europe. Right? So you had 10 million coming into the church in Mexico, and something like 5 million lost to the faith in Germany and England and Switzerland. I don't know, maybe the numbers were more or less equal, I'm not sure. But yes, certainly God's providence is at work. And today, it's the same thing is happening, and on an even bigger scale. No, the societies in which the Catholic faith was first enculturated, which was Europe, and then secondly the Americas, that we're becoming post-Christian societies, and yet the church is still expanding in those areas that didn't have that tremendous fortune of receiving the gospel earlier. And so we see the church expanding in Africa and Asia. You know, and another thing to reflect on is, so what happened when Our Lady appeared in Mexico? That there was this tremendous human sacrifice, and it's estimated that roughly one-fifth of the youth of Mexico was sacrificed with their hearts ripped out. And when Our Lady appeared, it stopped, right? It completely stopped. But what's happened in our time? As society gets de-Christianized, no, as we become more and more a secular post-Christian society, human sacrifice has come back, right? In a more terrible way, in a very different way, in a way that's characteristic of our culture, antiseptic, out of sight, invisible. But it's in some sense more terrible because it's in the most sacred place, the mother's womb. And so it's not a coincidence that when Our Lady brings Christ to the Americas, human sacrifice ends, and when our society begins to shake off its Christian foundation, it returns with a vengeance. Now, when there's that parable in the gospel about the demon being expelled, when he's going off to arid places and then coming back, and what does he find? He finds the soul empty and nicely cleaned out, and so he brings seven others with him. And so the end was worse than the beginning. Well, in some sense, that's what's being played out in our time. A post-Christian society, in some ways, is more catastrophic than a pre-Christian one, because they were less culpable, because they didn't know. And even in terms of numbers, so in Mexico, 1/5 of the youth died to human sacrifice. Well, we have more than that to abortion. I don't know the figures, but even per capita, the numbers of those aborted is greater than those of the sacrifices of the Aztecs, terrible as it was. And in absolute numbers, we go way over. Right? So Our Lady of Guadalupe is the great patroness of the pro-life movement. Right? And for so many reasons. She brought that respect to human life by bringing Christ to the Americas. Right? And again, it shows how human rights goes together with faith. I mean, even though human reason alone is sufficient to know that people have a right to life, but nevertheless, it's without faith in that man is made in God's image. So the Old Testament, the gospel of creation, that we're made in the image of God, and then the New Testament, that we were, every human being, redeemed by all the blood of Christ, and that he would have shed that blood for each individual. Like, that's what gives us respect for human rights, in reality. And that's where our modern world has gotten it from. Our respect for human rights is a great thing, but where did it come from? It came from the gospel. And so it's not surprising that when the gospel is put into the closet or is excluded from the public square, kept for the sacristy or the private devotion, well, we talk about human rights, but we don't respect them. Right? And so we have the greatest violation of human rights in our own country, in the plague of abortion. Yeah. Right, so we have to appeal to Our Lady of Guadalupe. Another question. Could there be a bigger connection here? That Our Lady of Guadalupe, the name coming from Arabic, and bearing a cross, the cross of the conquistadores, standing on the moon, and we could say precisely that name Guadalupe, which was a shrine, I didn't mention this, but it was a shrine not only for the conquistadores, but it was a key shrine in the reconquest of Spain. And so the Spanish, the kings and various who were very instrumental in reconquering Spain had a great devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe in Spain. So yes, I think that there's this connection. And then the question continues, standing on the moon, which is in the form of a crescent moon, and why don't you give us the whole image? Could this possibly symbolize an element of victory over the Mohammedans, over the Muslims, whose flag or banner bears a crescent moon? In other words, that's a great question. I don't rightly know how to answer it. The crescent in her appearance there, I don't think directly bore on Islam, because didn't exist in the Americas, but Our Lady clearly comes, Our Lady is a point of contact for Islam, because they do reverence Mary. No, and so Marian devotion in Islam is a hope for evangelization, that can be a foothold for evangelization. But Mary comes precisely to the Aztecs, to the Americas, as the mother of God, right? Which is precisely what Islam denies. And she comes as the mother of grace, no? Which again in Islam isn't present. Islam doesn't have a doctrine of grace, of supernatural sanctifying grace that elevates us to share in God's own life.
I just find it interesting, like the Our Lady of Barahona.
Right, there's that connection. Right.
And she's got a cross in the conquistadores.
Right.
Which they're fighting the Turkish movement, and then she's standing on a crescent moon, which it just kind of all, I guess maybe because of the times we're living in right now.
Right.
So it's all
Right? And I think it's very interesting, and it's something to ponder. Right, Fatima is the other great connection. So she chose this village with the name Fatima, which is that of Muhammad's daughter. And so it doesn't seem to be coincidental, right, of all the names. And again, the same thing with Guadalupe. It doesn't seem to be coincidental. And it would... Right, by Belloc, Hilaire Belloc.
He had something in there, and there was a date, and I don't know if I can remember the date, but the date, it had something to do with 9/11. September 11th was another victory somewhere along the way in the battle against the Turks overcome.
Right.
Right. And I know it's in that book, the book on by the same man,
Belloc. Well, at least we could say this, that the fact that it was the Spanish who conquered Mexico, and we today tend to look at the conquistadores as being, negative, imposing, colonialists imposing this foreign culture, and so forth. And we forget that, they brought Christ to the Americas. Of course, it was Our Lady more than anyone else who brought Christ to the Americas. But without Cortez, without the... and what a blessing that it was the Spaniards who reached here and not, say, the Ottoman Empire, as happened in other parts of the world, like in Indonesia and other places. And it was that Spain that had fought Islam now for some seven centuries to
9/11 was in Texas on September 11th,
right?
Because we had a victory over them in the history,
right,
back on that same day,
right?
And I never knew that, and I saw that
That was the victory, wasn't that in Vienna, that they had besieged? We don't realize the degree of the threat that Islam could have conquered significant parts of Europe in the 16th, 17th centuries. And the last great attempt that they made after the Battle of Lepanto was the Siege of Vienna. And it was broken on I think, 9/11. Right, September 11th. Right, by Catholic force, by Poland. I think it was the Prince of Poland who... Okay, is there any significance to the 46 stars? I don't know. So if anybody knows, I'd be interested to know why 46. Why does Juan Diego call Mary my smallest daughter, my child? Apparently that was Aztec courtesy. Right? So that would be the simple reason. I think it's also a recognition of what is great in Our Lady, that she is, it's her smallness, her humility, her total childlike confidence. That's how she appeared to him, and so that also comes through in the dialogue. Okay, differing apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She appears differently at Fatima, at Lourdes, the Miraculous Medal. Could it be, we don't know what a glorified person looks like, but if a person were to live in a certain, enter a certain culture, she would look the way that they look in that environment. I'm not sure if I got the question right. But that makes sense. That makes absolute sense. Our Lady is has a glorified body. That's the doctrine of the Assumption. And when Jesus, in his glorified body, on Easter Sunday, walked with the disciples on the way to Emmaus, well, they didn't recognize him because he didn't want to be recognized. And likewise, when he appeared to Mary Magdalene earlier, she didn't recognize him because he didn't, again, want to be recognized. She thought he was the gardener. And then when he wanted to be recognized, she recognized him, and likewise the two in Emmaus. And so a glorified body, the soul has power over the body. In other words, the body appears as the soul wants it to to appear and does what the soul wants it to do. We don't know exactly how this works. And so, yes, sure, Our Lady in her glorified body can appear as she wants to appear. And it'll always be her, right? It'll always express her identity. But it's fitting, know that it can express her identity in terms of the different cultures and different races of man, because she's the mother of all. Right? How beautiful that is, that she can appear with the features proper to all different peoples, and yet we so immediately recognize, that's Our Lady, because it has her character. And again, the mechanics we'll leave to God. But it's interesting, so the spirit is always the same, and that's what we see in these great apparitions. And so the spirit of Our Lady in Guadalupe, or in the Miraculous Meadow, and Lourdes and Fatima, that's always the same. And it's interesting that also how she appears is the same. She, above all of those great apparitions, stress her spiritual maternity, that she's the mother of grace. Right? And so in Our Lady of Guadalupe, she's the mother of grace, bringing Christ. And we see that with the sash and her pregnancy there. And in the other apparitions, she appears giving, so not here, she comes in this attitude of prayer, but in the Miraculous Meadow, she comes with her hands outstretched, with rays of light coming out of her fingers in the Miraculous Meadow, and that indicates the graces that she wins for us. And it also indicates the graces that she wants to give us, but that don't arrive because we don't ask for them. That's Our Lady of the Miraculous Meadow. And in Lourdes and Fatima, she appeared also in that same attitude. So in the apparition of Fatima, they describe her as being in the way she appeared on the Miraculous Meadow. And in the apparition to Alphonse Ratisbonne, the Jewish atheist, to whom Our Lady appeared in 1846, was it? 42. She appeared in the same way as on the Miraculous Meadow. And again, it indicates the same thing, that she's the mother, she's our spiritual mother, and she's the mother of grace, and she comes giving graces. And she can do that because she's immaculate, and because she's co-redemptrix. And so her mediation, her universal mediation, is tied with her, with all the mysteries go together. Right? And we see that all the great apparitions show us all the mysteries of Mary in such a beautiful harmony. Our Lady of Guadalupe, I mean, it's so perfect. She appears on the Immaculate Conception. She appears as, first of all, the Mother of God, and yet she's the mediatrix for the Americas. She comes bringing Christ to all the Americas as the spiritual mother, and she comes glorious. No, and that shows her assumption into heaven and her triumph over Satan as the new Eve. And so all the Marian mysteries come together in Our Lady of Guadalupe and in all the other apparitions. Okay, any other questions? Here's. I thought Our Lady of Guadalupe was supposed to look like an Indian. I don't think that she does. What do you think? Well, I think somewhat she does. It's mysterious. She's not... I think there's something not European about it that shows some... I think so. But it's mysterious, because that's... she's above any... there's a mystery about her. Anyway, I'll leave that to each one of you. Any other questions? I'll let you go. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We give thee thanks so much.